Welcome to the... Wait, are we going to, like, should I acknowledge this or should I just do this?
I think you can acknowledge it. I think it's worth it. Yeah, go for it.
You got a haircut.
You could call it that. Little trim as well.
Happy Halloween. Welcome to the Arcady Group Thinkers podcast. We're recording on Halloween. It'll publish shortly thereafter. And we are just about to, we're about to plug your ears into an incredible source of energy from the nonprofit sector. I'm your host, Justin McCord. With me is Ronnie Richard. Ronnie, you can speak to our aliases if you would like to. And, but most importantly, tell us a little bit about our guest.
Sure, I can do that. Master Yoda, our guest today is Floyd Jones. He's a speaker, he's a coach, he's a community builder. He helps nonprofits with all kinds of different projects. He's the founder of Back Black. They're an initiative that's raised over $2 million for Black-led nonprofits. And like you mentioned, just energizing bundle of energy and like inspirational as well. And we, you know, as we're talking to him, you can just see this intentionality that he has in his career and this focus on building community that really comes out in the conversation.
It's so interesting. You know, we talked to a lot of people about where their focus is and how they got into the space working in nonprofit marketing and fundraising. And so a lot of times people say things like called and talk about things like purpose. And I 100% believe every single one of those instances that there is a calling and that there people either run to the purpose of the space, or when they get here and they find it, that they kind of sink into the purpose of the space. Floyd truly amazes me in that his life is a representation of intentional purpose. And as he will share, this is not a new thing. This isn't a chapter. This is a through line. And so that's something that that I found this conversation to reveal. And I think it's super powerful. So without any further characters or gimmicks. Well, actually, there's
one coming. Let's be real.
There's one coming. Here's Floyd Jones on the Arcady Group Thinkers podcast. All right. I don't know how this is going to translate to the audio, but certainly for those that watch on YouTube, we have intentionally started our conversation today off camera because we're recording on Halloween. And so we each have shown up in costume and we're about to turn on our cameras and get to see each other in whatever format that looks like. Okay. So you gentlemen ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Let's turn them on.
What is that actual painting on your face?
Okay. So listen, Floyd, here's the thing. First of all, I love costumes. I think costumes are so fun.
They're the best.
I've reapplied actually since I first put it on.
Stop.
For you. I wanted to have the best green possible.
Are you Shrek?
See, this is the problem is like earlier today, someone asked me if I was Dobby, the house elf.
I could see that.
And not, I'm not that. I'm not Shrek. I'm actually Yoda. So Star
adult
Wars.
Adult or baby Yoda?
I am full adult. I don't know if you can see the wrinkles, but like.
I thought Yoda had a deeper shade of green. This is like.
I know. He's kind of a grayish green because he is, you know, he's.
He's a senior. He's senior.
Yeah.
You're like an adolescent Yoda, maybe.
No, this is like the color's losing. He's like losing the color. But it's also winter months. So that
this is winter months.
Yoda needs a tan.
Fall winter Yoda. Fall winter Yoda.
I Floyd. Love this so much. Hello, Floyd in the house, or Floyd Izzle, should I say?
Floyd Izzle is in the house. So you're here to drop some beats today.
Very nice.
I guess so. That's what they say.
Oh, man. Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, you sound.
Yes, we can.
Actually, okay, can I get that like in a more like a, I don't know, like in a tenor? Too early?
Can you hear me today? Okay, we're gonna give you a little.
Perfect. Here's where I want to start.
Let's do it.
Floyd Jones is a combustible ball of energy. Ooh. And everyone that encounters Floyd knows that, like, Floyd leaves Floyd's energy and sunshine and mark.
Mm.
Where does that come from? Like, where, what fills you up such that you end up being sunshine on everybody else?
Mm. Wow. I feel like we're going right in. I love that. Okay. So I feel like,
Yoda doesn't have time for warm-ups, man.
Yoda doesn't have any time. Right, no. Right. I feel like for me, and something that I share a lot to people is that this feels very, everything that I do is very purpose-driven. And I feel like I'm living on purpose for a purpose. And I feel like, especially the people who I'm communicating to and talking to, we're all purpose-driven leaders, right? And so it's like, especially at a time like right now, like I love that we can be on this call and have fun and get all the, you know, all the things. But at the same time, like there are very real people outside who are going to be losing their SNAP benefits.
Yeah.
Like there are very real people outside who are like wondering how they're going to get another job or how they're going to pay their bills. And I'm like, the work that we're doing is way too important for us to like, it's not a flippant thing, in my opinion. You know what I mean? But I also know that the people who are doing this work, we are tired. Like, we need inspiration. We need light. And I feel like a part of my call is to be that light, to be that surge of energy. When you plug your phone into the wall, you wake up at night and your battery is full. I'm the plug, okay? Plug your charger in. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to get that battery full so we can keep going back out there and doing the work. Okay. And so that inspires me when I see the impact, but also knowing that like I am living on assignment. Like what greater feeling is that? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I say those things.
God, that's powerful. And to your point, just the time and the moment that we get to be in this and drawing from purpose to be that renewable source.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it gets any better than that, honestly. I really don't.
It doesn't. We have a great opportunity, a great privilege. And like when we get to see impact up close and personal, it's like what better feeling than that? So yeah.
Floyd, you mentioned you do everything with purpose. And I was looking back through your career path a little bit, and you can see that purpose in it, even starting with going all the way back to college, and your major as international relations and affairs, like even that, thinking about these systems and how they're interacting, was that purpose something you found early on in life?
Definitely. So I thought I was going to be a diplomat, fun fact. Like at one point I was like, I'm going to be the diplomat or the president. Like, who knows? We're going to figure this out. And then I worked in government and I was like, hold on now. We're gonna see. I'm not loving all this. But also that speaks to I'm like a builder too. Like I'm someone who likes to build something, start something, get something off the ground. And like when I see a hole, I'm like, let me go and build the thing to make that better, you know? But I also, fun fact, double majored with music. I was an international affairs and music major. I'm a singer. As Justin mentioned, I had a voice scholarship when I went to college. So I've toured the world. I've like been all over the place. And I like, music is a thing that brings people together in so many different ways. And I'm like, okay, if music can do this work, like how much more can we actually build systems that operate in harmony? Come on, somebody, right? And I feel like that has been like a call for me throughout. It's like, It's so funny because I was like tracing back my life, and I was like, even in high school, I created something called a Unity Day, and I brought all the students to the gymnasium, and we were like, I like taught people, they were singing songs, we were doing sketches, we got the students to go back to their classrooms to like talk about deeper things. I was like, this has been me. I've always wanted to see the world be a better place and operate as a better place. And so I would say that it's been in my bones, but then also my family, my parents are immigrants, and my parents, my two eldest brothers, they're all from Sierra Leone, West Africa. So I grew up going to Sierra Leone all the time. And my dad's an entrepreneur. So I would wake up early in the morning as a kid and like see a line of people outside of our house because my parents would provide like jobs and opportunities to them. And like, I always from an early age just realized that this is what we do, right? We give back, we make the world a better place, and you can grow as well. And so that has just been a part of my fabric and my DNA.
I'm not surprised by anything that you just said. I am also, I just want to sit in what you just said for a second, because seeing you and then hearing you say that, it just tracks and it connects. And so where my mind goes is, where I wanted to go was, okay, so how did then you end up with your first role out of school as a development director? And I think you kind of just answered it, but talk us through, because that is a big step for someone fresh out of school. Right. Did you know what you were getting into? How soon did you realize
it? I was like, what is this? But I also feel like fundraising has always kind of been in my bones. Like, I realized even when I was a kid, I remember my first time getting called to the principal's office. Come on, somebody. We reformed Floyd, though. I was selling lollipops out of my locker to raise money for, I don't even know what I was raising money for, but I'm like, I've always been just selling a couple things. In college, I led an alternative spring break trip to the Gullah Geechee Nation. If you haven't checked that out or know what that is, look it up. But I did a trip to the Gullah Geechee Nation multiple years. So I was always raising money that way. And then what changed everything for me and made me realize that this was like a career path that I really think I could go on was I actually worked with this organization called Boca Mosso. They are a youth organization in a township called Winterveld, South Africa. And the youth there are just so incredibly powerful and so incredibly amazing. Every morning we were like singing songs and dancing. And I was like, these people are like changed my life. Like, and I've been to South Africa many times now. I always say if there's one other place in the world that I could live aside from America, it would be Cape Town or somewhere in South Africa. But when I was leaving the center, I did my senior research project there. When I was leaving the center, they were organizing a tour to the United States to raise money for the center. And I was able to get involved a little bit more, be a host, help organize specific pieces. And they ended up raising over $300,000 to sustain the center and provide scholarships to youth and have them go to college and get more training. And I was like, this is the first time it really clicked for me that like you can use funds to fuel good. And so I was like, I think I could try this. I think I could get involved. And that kind of started my path as a frontline fundraiser and getting into space.
So then from there, you shifted your career a little bit. But throughout it, you're building connections, you're building communities. You've worked at grassroots organizations, tech platforms like GiveButter. You had some time there. And then you mentioned starting in politics. I mean, these are some very different areas. What would you say you've learned in those different parts about like how change happens and how you can bring people together? Like the music career as well.
Mm-hmm. Community is your catalyst. That's my main flow at this point. I've realized that is really how you change things is with people, right? And it's not just using community as a buzzword. It's saying, okay, how do we actually build community to make long-term and sustained change? And when you look back in history and in life, that has always been the threat. It has always been community, right? But especially when you look at it in the development sector and in the impact sector, it's always like, okay, hey, we're doing this thing and we're going to impact the community. And I'm like, no, how you build and you grow is that you do it with the community, right? And so I've been able to apply that framework all across the board, whether it's at a tech company, I was a director of community and oversaw community-led growth, whether it's at a nonprofit and I'm building donors to help co-lead an organization and saying, hey, no, we're going to do this together. And when we're fundraising, we're going to fundraise together because fundraising is a team sport, come on somebody, right? Whether I'm working in a political campaign, whether I'm organizing a concert, right? Like no matter what context you are in, you have to do it with your people, right? You have to see who you want to serve is what I say. You have to be able to see who you want to serve and understanding that it's not an us versus them, it's a we. We are all doing this together, right? Even with the campaign, I run a campaign now called Back Black, where we help fund Black-led nonprofits. We work with all people. We bring all people together, right? We've raised millions, we've helped direct millions of dollars over the last 2.5 years and see impact and action because we're bringing everyone along with us, right? I'm a speaker. I help train people on this. I've seen it in action, right? When I'm coaching organizations or our coaching businesses and telling them, hey, you got to bring your people at the core, right? So I have seen it all across the board. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this is what I had to say, okay? Because I believe that that is what's going to change the world. When you can see more people and you can do it with them, that is what's going to change the world. Because guess what? Right now, people are looking to belong to something. And we have the power to be that something.
Completely agree, man. And, you know, the don't hold back. I love every bit of it. Don't hold back. I know that you're not. I know that you. I don't actually think that you can. There's two parts that I want to pick at there. What prevents people from enabling that? Like what holds people back from not just agreeing with the perspective you just shared, but actually living that out? What holds people back from that? And how does somebody start?
Correct. Correct. Okay. So I love this question. I'm going to start with how does someone start, okay? I created, oh my God, you have a cup to get out. Get out. Okay. No.
I had to find that. The right moment to take a sip because I didn't want to just, you know, go ahead.
I love it. Okay, so I have something called the 4 C's that I have built. The 4 C's of community building, because so many people ask exactly what you said. How do we build this out? How do we live this out? Okay, we're going to break it down, okay? Captivate. Communicate, convert, catapult. Captivate. How do you share the story with your people? So many different times when I always say, if you're trying to build a movement, is it a movement if nobody's going with you?
Fair point. It's
Look at our industry. How many people are saying that they're burning out? And I'm like, yes, we are burned out, but how many times are we the ones holding our own candles to the fire? We just come with our match. We just walk with our match because we're doing it all, right? How many times are we trying to shoulder the burden on our shoulders? And so the first question that I want to ask is, how are you sharing the spark? How are you capturing people's attention? And I'm not just talking about a goosebump. I'm not just talking about a good video. Those could be a method, right? Those could be a method. But the real question here is, do you want other people to come involved? Because every single level of this, there's another internal question that you have to ask why is it not happening? Why are we not in the flow, right? You can't go unless you're in the flow. Come on, somebody. So the first question is, do you want other people to go along with you? If you're not asking, what role does you trying to do everything serve? You got to ask these questions, right? What do you tell yourself when you're always on? What does always on tell you? Come on, somebody. So you have to share the spark because the spark is getting people to say, what's going on here?
Which takes time for you to be reflective. Like you have to
100%.
Like to your point about burning out and walking up with the candle and the match at the same time. I just have to interject that if you don't create space to think about that for yourself, if you don't create space for that sort of thought process, then you're going to just continue to do whatever that iterative 100%. Thing is.
100%. I always say you have to create space for transformation to take place. And this is not just for your people. This is for your own person. Come on, somebody. Okay. So share the spark. Then you have to share the story. Okay. Once people, you pique their interest, then you have to capture their attention. You have to keep their attention, right? What do they say? People have to pay attention because why? It's expensive. It's expensive, okay? You have to capture their attention. So now you're capturing it through storytelling. You're doing it through your email. You're doing it through actually engaging with them on a long-term basis, right? You have to continue capturing. And I do a whole training on this. If you're not on my website, go to my website, floydjones.co, okay? Come to one of my talks. We're going to talk about it, right? But you got to capture their attention. You got to keep their attention, okay? Then after you share the spark, then you share the story. And I always say your story is going to lead you to another level of your glory. Come on, somebody. Because people need to be able to see themselves in your story. That's the only thing they're going to keep walking along the path with you. People get excited all the time. But why do you think social media exists? Okay, how many times do you scroll? Your finger gets tired of scrolling because every 5 seconds is another video, another good thing that catches your attention. But how many people go viral once and then never see that victory again? Many people have followers, but not many people have follow through. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, or you find yourself living in pursuit of that high, like all of a sudden your motive changes, right? Your purpose changes, your intent changes, right?
Period.
You lose the story. Yeah.
You lose the story. Yeah.
Period. So share the spark, share the story. And then third, and this is the most important, convert. Share the opportunity. How many times do you meet somebody and they're like, okay, the first email is, can you donate? And I'm like, you don't know my name. Like, huh? Or maybe you'll get a donation, but it won't be a long-term sustainable gift. I just made a significant gift to an organization. Almost 4 figures. Come on, somebody. But I had been interacting with this organization for months. Months. I have been interacting with this organization for months. I was like, you know what? They're doing real impactful work. Now's the time. You think you're going to get a transformational gift from one social media post? And you might, but the chances of that happening are not high, right? And remember, you're not just building for another donation. Anybody can get a donation. You are building for believers, because believers are going to lead to your breakthrough. So you have to give them opportunities to get involved, right? Maybe level one is share this post. Maybe level two is come to this event. Maybe level three is volunteer for this thing. Maybe level four is, okay, now make a donation. Maybe level five is become a peer-to-peer donor. Join our local board. Like, give them levels to this. Give them levels. Because people also want to continue growing. So you have to convert. And the final opportunity is catapult. The fourth C is catapult. So you got to share the spark. You got to share the story. You got to share the opportunity. And then you got to share the baton. Come on, somebody. Because now it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about we. This is where your people become ambassadors for your cause. This is where they join your board. This is where they open up corporate doors. This is where they open up funding doors. This is where you share the baton and you empower people. And guess what? Because when people feel that they have the baton, guess what? Now the mantle is in their hand and they are now taking co-ownership of that mission. It's about co-ownership. We're in this together. I always say, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, come on, somebody, you go together. And that's how you do.
Ronnie, that's how you do it. I don't know if you got that or not. Like
Ronnie said, all right, Abe, check.
That checks out.
No, it does. It does. It's.
I mean, it really does.
We get so lost and trapped in ourselves, and so caught in cycles that having that idea of reframing, like even why you're doing this work, why you're in fundraising, and whether or not that's for, you know, a donor population of 50 or 50,000, what you just mentioned, like that is creating experiences for people. And you know, I mean, we are so blessed to get to work with hundreds and hundreds of nonprofits. And oftentimes we even have to think about, okay, are we talking at people on behalf of the nonprofits that have us as their partner? Are we talking at people, or are we creating experiences that help fuel that cycle of co-productivity, right? In being a part of the mission. And it is hard work to be doing it and thinking about it at the same time.
And it goes back to that idea of burnout and needing to create space. Because if your head's down and you're just onto the next thing, it's hard to find that space to give thought some thoughts to that.
100%. I also want to challenge, but why are we always onto the next thing, onto the next thing? Why? Like, we don't have to. We create these false ideas that I have to always be doing XYZ thing. And I'm like, you don't. If you're not doing one thing well, is it really making that impact? Like, I have a controversial rule that I have in my life, but it applies to every organization that I work with, everything that I do, my business. I have something called the six-figure rule. I don't jump to the next thing unless this stream is bringing in at least six figures. I am not going to start track because for what? I don't want $10 here, $3 there, $1,000. You're not stewarding any of those things well. You're not taking them to the four C's. You're not doing that.
I was in
let's go deep here and then we can expand, you know?
I was in a conversation with a colleague recently and they said something that connects to this very well. And they said, I feel like we're trying to jump to dessert, but we haven't eaten our dinner.
See?
And
don't even talk about an appetizer. Don't even ask for a bread roll. Don't even ask for a bread roll because, huh?
Bread roll. No, right? Like, that's, yeah. So this is what I mean, man. Like, this is where I love your passion and how effusive it is and how it seems to be a self-propellant. Because we're living in such an interesting time to be coming of leadership in this time and space. We really, really are. The generations before us, when they came into leadership in this space, their world looked very, very different than what they were trying to do, than what many of us see now. What helps you steward your space, your mind, so that you can stay informed and also innovative in how you're leading both your company and with the nonprofits that you engage with?
Prayer is first. You have to be insightful first. I'm always in a state of constant reflection. I wake up every morning and I journal. That's the first thing that I do. I'm journaling. I'm praying. I'm working out. I have my consistent things that keep me constant because I can't always be on. You're not going to get your inspiration is inspiration. And how many times do we wake up and the first thing that we do is look at this phone? The first thing that we do is look at the news. The first thing that we do is look at our email. You're just setting yourself up for stress. That's not me. That, because I realize the input that I have. I don't think in days, I think in decades. I don't think in days, I think in decades. I'm like, when I'm sitting in my rocking chair, I remember my grandpa, okay, he was 85, just hustling, doing his thing. He was I said, okay, that's what I'm working towards, okay? And I wanna say, what am I gonna be reflecting on my 85th walk? What am I gonna be reflecting on when I'm walking on that beach, when I'm just sitting down? What do I wanna reflect on? And that's what I'm working towards. I'm not working to the next like. I'm working for longevity. So that's first, okay? Second is I stay in understanding what's happening. I stay in the trends, but you have to be in without being inundated. You have to be in. So I'll get my quick briefs. I can get a brief. And also pay attention to what sources you're allowing inside of you, right? Like, I don't just go to any news outlets, right? I'm filtering the news, right? I have like strong breaks with social media too. I'm like, it's so funny because I post a lot, but I'm like, I be pre-posting, I be pre-planning, I be doing whatever I need to do because I'm like, I can't get myself stressed out because the mission is too important, right? I know the role that I get to play in this, you know what I'm saying? And so I would say it's all about self-protecting yourself. You know what I mean? What they say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Come on, somebody.
Way to tie it into the framework costume, of the character. Yeah. That was well done. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to have to find a way to levitate before we're done today. So I appreciate you raising that bar for me.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Okay. So I'm piecing it together a little bit here. Okay. Your big focus on community, bringing people together. as you look to the next decade, as you're thinking about it, we're in the moment of AI right now, which is very much not people, automation, machines. How do you see the next decade? It might even be the next 3 years right now, as fast as things are moving. How do we get people together in this current state of AI driven, data driven automation that we're facing?
You know, I always say AI ain't I. I say AI ain't I, meaning that nothing can replicate me. Okay? It's only going to amplify what I'm doing. I led and was the host of Fundraising AI this year, and the theme was amplify impact. And I was like, that's so true. We are here to amplify, it's going to amplify your impact, right? And I feel like platforms like our good sis Mallory Erickson, who's doing Practivated and how we're infusing it, right? I just led one of their webinars, but I'm like, okay, yeah, here's the tool and here's how we're going to use it together. You know what I'm saying? We're learning best practices from each other, right? So I would say the main thing is figure out and write down. So one thing that I do, I love data, okay? I actually track every single hour of my day. Shout out to Harvest, okay? I love the platform Harvest. I track every hour of my day. And I write out all the tasks that I'm doing in every hour of my day. And when I'm done at the end of the day, I put little emojis by each task. So I'm like, this one, I put like a lightning bolt if I was like, this was it, right? I put a smiley face. I put a neutral face. I put a drooling, drooping, you know that little drooping, melting person when I'm like, this ain't it. I don't do that again. And every quarter, I sit down and I'm like, okay, what were all the tasks that had the droop and how do we automate those out? I sit down with my OBM and I'm like, how do we get this away from me? Okay, so it's all about like, that's the power of what it can do. So I can focus on the lightning bolt, because the lightning bolt, that's moving things forward. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing that's driving the needle forward, right? And so that's what I really try to focus my energy and my time on.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. No, like that, no, that's great. But like, that is what it should be. That is how technology should be amplifying the work that we're doing. And good on you for the intentionality of putting that into practice, because not only does it benefit you in terms of efficiency and all of the really, you know, nice, important business words, but it also just benefits you in terms of your own morale.
100%.
Preserving, protecting energy against certain things and leaning into the other things,
right? 100%. When we're talking, we look so much at like external things for our benchmarks of success, like dollar amount, likes, shares, people, like all of these things are external. I'm like, how often are we ranking our joy? Like, why is joy not factored into your KPIs? Like, I get so, and I'm like, if this thing is not bringing you joy, it's not worth it. There's this scale. Oh my God, it was so good. I forget what's like the actual title. It's not the Eisenhower Matrix, it's another thing, but it's like, in the top right quadrant, it's like, this thing is bringing me money and energy. Keep this thing, right? Then it's like, this thing is bringing me money, but it's draining my energy. Delegate that thing. Then it's like, this thing is bringing me energy, but not money. Protect that thing. And then this thing is not bringing me money and not bringing me energy. Get it out. Cut it out. We don't need it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, just being really meticulous. You have to protect your time. That's the thing that we don't get back. You have to protect your time. We only have one life, right? I want to spend my time. I just got back from Cartagena, Colombia, Aben, okay? And I was enjoying my time with my wife. I was enjoying time on the beach. And I was like, a few years ago when I was in frontline fundraising, this would have not been a thing. Like October, November came around and I was like, the way that my heart would just skip a beat and I'd be stressed. And I sent out an email talking about this last week. We got almost a 60% open rate of like, here's exactly what I started to do to change that. And I was like, people are hungry for this change. I'm going to be the change, but I can't be the change if nothing changes. Come on, somebody.
What's one thing whenever you look at like right now or the next 6 months, what's one thing that Floyd is excited about that's bringing Floyd joy?
Ooh. I just found out that I'm going to be the keynote at a conference in Toronto. Shout out to the Canadian fundraising crew. I just found that out like this last week. I don't even know if that's public information, but whatever, Chad. I'm just putting that. I'm putting the sweets out there. Okay. So I just found out that I'm doing that. So I'm excited.
Congratulations.
About that.
That's huge.
Thank you. Yes, I'm excited. What else? Yeah, I'll say that'd be one thing.
I'm gonna put a lightning bolt by that for you.
Okay, exactly.
I want to ask you if you could leave one lesson of leadership for people working in the nonprofit space. Well, I mean, you've thrown out quite a few nuggets, but if you could leave them one, what would it be?
I think the theme of this call is be intentional with your time. Like, we have one beautiful, honorable, exciting life to live, and you deserve to be happy about the life that you're living. Like, you deserve to be happy and joy-filled with the life that you get to live, right? So be intentional. Anything that's, like, taking away your peace, anything that's taking you away from your core mission, your core values, get rid of it, child. Because not in the year of our Lord 2025, and we're going into 2026, we don't have time for things to waste our time, okay? So be intentional with your time. Operate in and on purpose. And watch how life opens up for you. That's what I say.
Well said.
Floyd, you're maybe one of my favorite humans that I've ever met. Thank you for setting aside the time to chat with us. Tell us a little bit about your life, your background, and to bless us with your intentionality. And I know that it'll do the same for our listeners. And so, man, just thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Justin. I'm so happy when I finally got to see you in March. I was like, I feel like I've seen you all my life. And so I'm happy that we're finally here.
True. We are finally here. Finally here.
I love it.
Can't wait to,
Thank you, Ronnie. I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
You guys have a good one, okay?
All right, man. Happy Halloween. We'll see you soon.
Happy Halloween.
Group Thinkers is a production of RKD Group. For more information, including how you can partner with RKD to accelerate growth for your fundraising and nonprofit marketing needs, visit rkdgroup.com.